The following recording is copyright 2013, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
Several years ago, I was visiting a friend who woke me up with frantic shouts from the other end of the house. At first, I only heard him faintly because I was there in one of the bedrooms, the door was closed and all that. But when it registered, I ran to see what was the matter without even stopping to grab my glasses. He had dropped a huge glass container full of liquid on his foot. And there he stood in the middle of the kitchen, barefoot, with glass all over the place. So I ran and got my glasses. That gave my vision sharper focus. There was blood everywhere. It looked like a crime scene. So I got a broom, cleared a path to the door, and took him to get stitches, which I could now do because with my glasses, I could now see. In today's gospel, Peter, James, and John hiked up a mountain to pray with Jesus, and then they fell asleep. When they woke up, they couldn't believe their eyes. Jesus was standing there transfigured, dazzlingly white, talking to Moses and Elijah. For months, Jesus had been teaching them about himself. But up to now, it hadn't really registered. It's kind of like they only heard him faintly, as if from the other room at the other end of the house. But now, a voice proclaims clearly, loud and clear, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." For these disciples, Jesus' transfiguration was like putting on a pair of glasses. Okay? Moses and Elijah were the twin lenses through which they could see for the first time that Jesus had come to fulfill the law represented by Moses and the prophets represented by Elijah. This experience on the Mount of Transfiguration prefigures another much sadder transfiguration that occurred on a different mountain, the Mount of Olives. Again, they hiked up a mountain to pray, this time after the Last Supper. And again, Peter, James, and John fall asleep. They couldn't stay awake. Couldn't keep awake even an hour with Jesus. And Jesus was transfigured again, but this time transfigured in agony rather than in glory, sweating blood as he contemplated the cup of suffering that would be the price of our salvation. And Jesus woke them up. He woke them up just in time to hear the shouts of those coming to arrest him. At the first transfiguration, they heard Moses and Elijah speaking with Jesus about the passage he was to fulfill in Jerusalem. But still, they didn't really understand what that amounted to. Now that passage to be fulfilled in Jerusalem is occurring. And on Holy Thursday and Good Friday, everything was just like a big blur. Okay? They sort of just stood there. Marooned, not in the middle of the kitchen, but in the middle of a garden, dumbfounded as the soldiers led Jesus away. For these disciples, Easter and especially Pentecost will be the twin lenses that will finally enable them to see Jesus' sacrifice for our salvation as it really was, as it truly was. And then they set out to proclaim the good news with courage and conviction, which they now can do because, thanks to Pentecost, they can now see clearly. Okay. Today we have that first transfiguration, our first glimpse of who Jesus really is, Son of God, Savior, Messiah. In a few weeks, we'll have the rest of the story. The rest of the story about the cost of our salvation, that Jesus suffered in order to save us, and the rest of the story regarding the cost of discipleship. The rest of the story regarding the cost to us of following Jesus. Okay? And the courage and conviction we will therefore need in order to be faithful to Jesus in our time of testing and not run off like those disciples did the day Jesus was arrested. Us to remain faithful to Jesus no matter what happens, rather than desert him. One of the greatest blessings that you and I enjoy is that we can get to know Jesus as he really is, and we have lots of advantages over those who first met him 2,000 years ago, because our vision is given sharper focus, not only because we have the twin lenses now of Easter and Pentecost that causes everything to fall into place, but also through the church and the sacraments. Jesus, and we can see him present and active in the world today. We can see him wherever Christians are. Okay? If we just put our glasses on and look around at our brothers and sisters and recognize that that's Jesus sitting there in the pew with me. Okay? A fellow member of the body of Christ. And also, put those glasses on, we can see Jesus in every poor person and every needy person. Whatever you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me. He's especially present for us to see in the Eucharist, in every Mass, and for us to hear every time the Scriptures are proclaimed, and to worship also in adoration before the tabernacle. Okay. Jesus is, in fact, transfigured for us to see in every human being, because every human being is made in the image and likeness of God. And in all of creation, we can see Jesus because it bears the thumbprint of its creator, who then declared it to be good. In these and in countless other ways, Jesus calls us to himself. He looks for every way he possibly can to draw us to himself. And at first, maybe because we're not catching on too well, we may still only be hearing him a little faintly, as if it's another end of the house. But if we respond to that faint voice that we hear, that faint tug in our heart that we feel, Jesus will help us progressively to get to know him better and more clearly, and then give us the corresponding courage and conviction to be faithful to him in the challenges we face in our time of testing, no matter what we're up against.